So whatever bureaucrat up there says, oh, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other thing. And you think this is a little bit here, this is a little bit there, and you don't realize that the hidden spirit behind it is to do everything to take down the United States. So now the environmentalists will not let us cut the trees, but they sure will let them burn. How did such a thing come about? The revolutionary development of modern weapons within a world divided by serious ideological differences has produced a crisis in human history. Read the protocols that was set up to develop this crisis. See, because we are simple-minded, all of us. We are not diabolical. We don't think in evil terms. But Satan deliberately creates evil so he can create peace, so he can have more control. So that's how the Russians got all of our secrets immediately, so they could produce this thing. Now, they may have not thought at that time that's exactly what they were doing, but Satan knew what he was doing, did he not? Yes. So we've had the Cold War. Woo! All of a sudden, the Berlin Wall is gone, and boy, there's democracy in the Soviet Union, and hallelujah, everything's wonderful and peaceful and nice, and we're going on into a one-world order. Here's how it got started. In order to overcome the danger of nuclear war now confronting mankind, the United States, please understand, they may have been under the label of the United States, but these were in fact agents of Satan, the devil, who belonged to the CFR and the Trilateralists and the One Worlders and the whole thing. So you have to put the whole ball of wax together. And as I've said recently, I don't think there's a conspiracy anymore. The conspiracy is done and out in the open. And if you want to know who controls Rush Limbaugh, ask him if he'll talk about a conspiracy. You'll find out. What he's doing, he's helping them gauge public reaction so they can see how much evil they can get down in spite of all the squawking that is done on the radio and the other talk show hosts. Okay? Let's go on. The United States is introduced into the 16th General Assembly of the United Nations, a program which is called a Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. This new program provides for the progressive reduction of war-making capacities of nations and simultaneously strengthens international institutions to settle disputes and maintain peace. It sets forth a series of comprehensive measures which can and should be taken in order to bring about a world in which there will be freedom from war and security for all states. Who's able to make war with the beast? Is that not security from war? It is based on three principles deemed essential to the achievement of the practical progress in the disarmament field. One, there must be immediate disarmament action in a strenuous and uninterrupted effort. Now, this was signed in 1961, so I want you to think of some of the events you can recall in your mind as I'm reading this that has happened down to the present day. Because this has been implemented exactly as proposed. May have taken a little longer, but exactly as they have proposed. And every time they get a Democratic president in there, they stuff more down our throats because he is dedicated to getting it in. And especially one educated with Fabian socialism in Oxford, England. A strenuous and uninterrupted effort must be made toward the general goal and complete disarmament. At the same time, it is important that specific measures be put into effect as soon as possible. Second, All disarmament obligations must be subject to effective international controls. I talked to a man who was here yesterday. I don't know if he's here today, but his son is just released from one of the services. I think it's the Air Force, because he refused to pledge allegiance to the United Nations. Let that sink in. The control organization must have manpower, facilities, and effectiveness to assure limitations or reductions take place as agreed. I wondered what on earth were all the United States senators and different people going over to Russia and saying, tell us all about your nuclear things, and by the way, you've got to reduce this. Now I know. That's all part of the plan. It must also be able to certify to all states that retain the forces and armaments that they do not exceed those permitted at any stage of the disarmament process. Why do you think that the reduction of the military bases in the United States was put into the hands of a commission not to be changed or voted upon by the Congress of the United States, because it was implementing this program? Now, I'm not saying go out and do something politically. Please don't misunderstand me. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my servants fight. But Jesus said, we are not of this world. And you can't change Babylon with political reform. It must be totally destroyed. Number three, adequate peacekeeping machinery must be established. There is an inseparable relationship between the scaling down of national armaments on the one hand and the building up of international peacekeeping machinery and institutions on the other. Do we have it? Yes, we do. Absolutely. Nations are unlikely to shed their means of self-protection in the absence of alternative ways to safeguard their legitimate interests. This can only be achieved through the progressive strengthening of international institutions under the United Nations and by creating a United Nations police force to enforce the peace as the disarmament process proceeds. Are we not seeing that today? What are they doing in Haiti? They're putting in a police force. They're going to educate the security forces, right? Yes. What you saw in Haiti was not the implementation of United States policy whatsoever. What you saw was the implementation of the three agents sent by those who control the United Nations down to Haiti to tell them, you either shape up or we're going to blow you out. And President Clinton, all he could do was read what was handed to him. Carrying out this policy. Continuing. Freedom from war, disarmament, goal, and objectives. The overall goal of the United States is a free, secure, peaceful world of independent states adhering to common standards of justice and international conduct, which means you must have an international court, which means you must give up your constitution to be run by international law. Subjecting the use of force to the rule of law. Now, what is a rule of law? It's called the United Nations mandate. Have we not sent our forces out under United Nations mandate? That's right. Getting approval from Congress for the thing in Iraq with George Bush, and we were all, oh yes, let's get that guy, because the propaganda was effective. Now, Hussein is an evil person, true. But the reason they want to get rid of Hussein is because they can't control him. And if they can't control him, diminish him. But when George Bush got up there and said, one world, I said, oh boy, are we in for it. Remember that? I remember it clear as day. I can see it right now. Him standing up there telling the Congress. Okay? Effective international control in a world in which adjustments to change. What have we heard? Change, 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 right? Yes. An adjustment to change takes place in accordance with the principles of the United Nations. Could that be the beast who was and is not and yet is? Now the players may change. The location of its government may change from New York, which the land was wonderfully and philanthropically donated to the United Nations by our wonderful, great American, the Rockefeller family. I'll say no more. In order to make possible the achievement of the goal, the program set forth here the following specific objectives towards which nations should direct their efforts. The disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever other than those that are required to preserve international order and for the contribution of United Nations peace forces. Well, the way you get that in is first you create all these wars, so then you must go in and control it. And you must go in and take away their weapons. So that's why all of this has been going on. First you create the crisis, and then you bring in the solution, and then you implement what you want. In the meantime, you wear everyone down by propaganda and deceit and lies, to where they just get so blithered in mind that they accept it. Has that not happened within a Church of God we know? The same identical process. The elimination from national arsenals, all armaments, including all weapons of mass destruction, and the means to destroy their delivery other than those required for the United Nations Peace Force and for maintaining internal order. Now you know why the budget for the United States military has been so drastically reduced, while at the same time being used as a force of the United Nations? And that's really a nice deception, isn't it? Oh, we're the good guys. Oh, we're the powerful nation. Oh, yes, they look to us. But who gives the orders? Boutros Ghali, who gets his orders from somebody else, from those who donated the land to the United Nations, and from the bankers. The institution of effective means for the enforcement of international agreements. Now, what do you mean, the enforcement? How do you enforce something? You do it with an army. Who's able to make war against the beast? If the United Nations is the beast, or the thing which is going to lead to the beast in the final analysis, going to see all these things happen? They're happening, brethren. They are. They're happening right now. There's going to be an army. Remember the conference in Rio for the ECHO conference? All these conferences are just a ruse. They're just a ruse. A cover to do something else. What was really done in all of these meetings was not what was published. Just like the crime bill that was finally signed by Bill Clinton had all kinds of things added to it after they supposedly passed it. You bet. There is going to be an international army. But in order to do that, you must pay for it. Now, how do you normally pay for armies? The word used to be tax, now it's contribution. Look for a world tax. When a world tax comes in, you know the end is near. Okay? The enforcement of international agreements for the settlement of disputes, for the maintenance of peace in accordance with the principles of the United Nations, which is Babylon the Great, which is all religions, which is all atheistic, agnostic, everything other than Christ. They will allow the Pope to use the name of Christ there because he knows, they know he's one of his agents, so it doesn't matter if he uses the name of Christ, because he's preaching another Christ somewhere else. But if someone comes in and preaches the true Christ, who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you're not welcome, you're not wanted, you get out, you're not part of this. Never should be, because that's Babylon. Now, I can tell you all about the meditation room there in the whole schmear. All true. Every bit of it. The establishment of effective operation of the International Disarmament Organization within the framework of the United Nations to ensure compliance at all times with all disarmament obligations. Happening. Worldwide. And as we were talking about Germany and Japan, never again will Germany and Japan act unilaterally because no nation is going to be allowed to act unilaterally. Germany and Japan may become a very integral part of this Babylonian system, and yes, the ones that are called the Syrians will be the principal ones who are going to lead, but they will not be alone. The whole number one rule of today is control, 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 control. Task of negotiating states. Now this ties in with the dispute we've been having in Korea. Because they don't want a dictator having nuclear weapons who they can't control. Now they probably think they can control this derelict son of Kim Il-sung II. So they've cooled down the rhetoric. The negotiating states are called upon to develop a program and a detailed plan for general and complete disarmaments and to continue their efforts without interruption until the whole program is achieved. So every nation must report to the United Nations how they're doing on the disarmament of their nation. Guess what's on the list for the disarmament of the United States? Every weapon in every household. Guaranteed. To this end, they are to seek the widest possible area of agreement at the earliest possible date, at the same time, without prejudice, to proceed on the disarmament program. They are to seek agreement on those immediate measures that would contribute to the common security of the nations, and that could facilitate and form part of the total program. And that's a dangerous word. Total program. And you don't even know what it is. I'm just reading a summary. And I don't even know what it is. But there's enough here that we can understand what's going on. Governing principles. The program sets forth a series of general principles to guide the negotiating states in their work. That makes it clear that all states relinquish their arms. The United Nations must be progressively strengthened in order to improve its capacity to ensure international security and peaceful settlements of dispute. Look for the beautiful blue helmet to become more prominent. They will have to have a good army. What a wonderful gesture of peace. What a wonderful way to get the United States out of debt. Give them all of our military. Now you're out of debt, huh? Gotcha. Not too far-fetched. Disarmament must proceed as rapidly as possible until it is completed in stages containing balanced, phased, and safeguard measures. Whenever you hear one of these politicians or diplomats get up there and talk about disarmament, you will hear balanced, phased, and safeguard measures. Each measure and stage should be carried out in in an agreed period of time with transition from one stage to the next to take place as soon as all the measures of the preceding stage have been carried out and verified and soon as necessary arrangements for verification of the next stage have been made. What was one of the famous things that Ronald Reagan said? Trust but verify. Now, I'm afraid, brethren, all of our political heroes are on the other side of the fence. And I love Ronald Reagan. And I know a lot of you out there loved FDR. But he's going to turn out FDR, the greatest traitor to the American system that has ever been. And if that gets you mad, and you're in the wrong place. And I'm not choosing politics. Please understand. I'm telling you, you cannot solve this politically. You cannot solve this economically. You cannot solve this religiously. Christ alone is going to solve it. And if you want a real part in solving it, you make sure you're in the first resurrection. Continuing. Inspection and verification, I just read that. Disarmament must take place in a manner that will not affect adversely the security of any state. Disarmament stages. First stage. First stage contains measures which would significantly reduce the capacity of nations to wage war, aggressive war, implementation. That's why they never got the Star Wars things off the ground, because that could be used offensively as well as defensively. Nuclear threat must be reduced. All states must adhere to a treaty effectively prohibiting the testing of nuclear weapons. Isn't that what's going on right now? Yes. Pakistan, India, Korea, China. And if you look, some of the things are uncovering that the Soviet Union did with some of their tests out just in the open land where all the things, the fallout came on the people. Rather than hideous, terrible, miserable, rotten, satanic things have been done to those people in Kazakhstan. Now, they're human. They love. They live. They have life. They have emotions. Just so happens that God hasn't called them yet. And because they lived under a satanic dictatorship and lying, conniving of men seeking for power and following Satan the devil, they exploded those hydrogen, atomic bombs, yes, and I think some hydrogen bombs there. To this day, they're blind, the crippled, the deformed, born, that have done nothing. And that's why, brethren, the last great day, God is going to undo all of that. You can say, if there be a God, which there is, how could he allow this to go on? The answer is because God alone has a solution. And he's going to take care of it in his day and his time. States owning, production of fissionable material for use in weapons must be stopped, and quantities of such materials from past production must be converted to non-weapons use. Is that the whole thing that's going on in Korea? Absolutely. States owning nuclear weapons must relinquish control of such weapons to any nation, must not relinquish them to any nation not owning them, etc., etc. Strategic delivery vehicles must be reduced. Are we destroying our missiles? Was it not said of Joseph? You read there that Joseph was to be given the blessings of the greatest things from the heaven above, the earth beneath, and that he was to be a strong military power. And the archers have sorely shot at him but could not prevail. That's us, brethren. So they know they can't conquer us from without, so they're going to get us from within. And they're going to tear down the belief in God which they have. They're going to tear down belief in churches which they have. They're going to corrupt the educational system which is already done. And all of you who are homeschooling, thank God. They're going to control the governments which they are. They're going to control the monetary system which they do. Arms and armed forces must be reduced. Is it happening? Peaceful use of outer space must be promoted. Is it happening? UN peacekeeping powers must be strengthening. Is it happening? An international disarmament organization will be established for the effective verification of the disarmament program. Is it happening? Remember, signed in 1961. Today is 1994. They think long term. Most Americans think to the next paycheck, as all of us do. They're diabolical and know how to do it. And if you think Slick Willie is slick, he's a bumbling clown. States would be committed to other measures to reduce international tension and protect against the chance of war by accident, miscalculation, or surprise attack. First implementation of that was a red hot line between Moscow and Washington, D.C., right? Right. Second stage contains a series of measures which will bring within sight a world which, in which there will be freedom from war. Implementation of all of these measures in the second stage would mean a further substantial reduction in the armed forces, armament, military establishments of states, including strategic nuclear weapon delivery vehicles and countering weapons, further development of methods for a peaceful settlement of disputes under the United Nations, establishment of a permanent international peace force within the United Nations. That means an army. Depending on the findings of the expert commission, so now everything's going to be done by committee and by bureaucrats, and they don't care about anyone except their own mission. On the basis of finding the expert commissions, a reduction of stocks of nuclear weapons, the dismantling or conversion of peaceful uses of certain military bases and facilities wherever they are located, and conveniently turn them into concentration camps. Can be done. Third stage. During the third stage of the program, the states of the world are building on the experience and confidence gained in successfully implementing the measures. The first two stages will take the final steps toward the goal of a world in which states will retain only those forces, non-nuclear weapons, and establishments required for the purpose of maintaining internal order. This would also support and provide agreed manpower for United Nations Police Force. Sieg Heil to the United Nations. And if you don't do it, you're summarily discharged. UN forces equipped with agreed types and quantities of armaments. Notice where they put this, right at the end, right? Yes. Would be fully functioning. The manufacture of armaments would be prohibited except those for agreed types and quantities to be used by the United Nations police forces and those required to maintain internal order. That's why they want every weapon in every household in the United States. And they ain't going to get them until they send in the UN troops to shoot them out. All other armaments would be destroyed or converted to peaceful purposes. The peacekeeping capabilities of the United Nations would be sufficiently strong. The obligations of all states, that is all nation states under such arrangements sufficiently far-reaching as to assure peace and a just settlement of differences in a disarmed world. Now, the quickest way to take down America is to do exactly what they did to Haiti. Initiate an economic boycott. It's over with. Now, along those lines, this was just given to me, okay, by Helm. Not this one. Here's one here. Treaty to make skies safer. Foreign planes can fly over any American city and take pictures of anything they want to. I'll leave the article here for you. Next, this was sent to me, this one by Georgia and this one by Bob Honeycutt. Agreement in establishing the World Trade Organization. Let me read this by Pat Buchanan. Okay? When a United States plane struck in Bosnia, Bill Clinton was not even consulted, and they did not have American insignias on them. When 15 Americans died from friendly fire over Iraq, Al Gore offered condolences to the families of those who died in the service of the United Nations. On July 1, we learned that the Clintonites have quietly revived the Law of the Sea Treaty, rejected by Ronald Reagan. American rights to mine the ocean floor will be subject to a UN agency called the International Seabed Authority. Now, the way Clinton got in was that he had to come and almost bow on his knees that if he were made president, he would do absolutely everything he was told to do. And the word was, remember John F. K. I don't know that for sure, but if fruits indicate, that's what it is. On July 1, okay, subject UN agency. Seabed authority, why? Because we are told the Pentagon wants written into the law of the treaty the treaty provision that the vital straits of the world are in international waterways through which the unimpeded passage of U.S. Navy is ensured. But this is absurd. Should Morocco fall into the hands of hostile rebels, and they should declare the Straits of Gibraltar closed to U.S. warplanes, is the Admiral of the Sixth Fleet supposed to take his grievance to the U.N.? Once we Americans relied on ourselves to defend our vital interests, don't tread on me was the authentic voice of American sovereignty, not injure us and we will sue you in the world court. But the greatest single surrender of U.S. sovereignty is about to occur in Congress in the first pages of the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade Treaty called GATT. America gives up her right to use her economic power to defend her interest in fair trade and agrees to accept the judgment by a new Supreme Court of the World Trade whose decisions will be made in secret and against which there will be no appeal. In the World Trade Organization, which details it out here, and the terms are so broad and so general, they can enforce anything they want to. And there's wording in here which indicates the control of the mind through the hate law thing implemented right here. Somewhere the U.S. has to take a stand. It has to stop accepting these international bribes in exchange for our birthright of freedom, has to cease paying for each treaty in the priceless coin of national sovereignty. If the Republicans will not reject the WTO, how can they call themselves the party of Bob Taft? I'm for a world trade, but I am against world government, said Art Gingrich. Several months ago, he called the World Trade Organization the third world-dominated dictatorship domination system with 117 nations making the decisions. That was then. Now Newt's going along. The word is the men who pay the bills for the GOP want the gap badly, and they would not care, and they could not care less about American sovereignty. Gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Now, there are a lot of people going around saying, boy, we need to get our armaments up. We need to stand for this. We need to get going. We need to change this. Remember this, whatever you do to change this world without Christ is of this world. Were there many martyrs trying to defend Jerusalem when it was in its last siege? Yes. The zealots were there, and you read in Josephus what an absolutely hideous thing that these zealots did because they wanted to keep the temple, they wanted to keep Jerusalem, they were even killing their own kind to keep it. But God's decision was, scrape it from the face of the earth. And nothing they did politically or religiously with their institutions turned back the hand of God. The only thing that will turn this nation around is a national repentance of such a magnitude and such an absolute bloody mess of the leaders that it cannot be done. You would have to kill every member of the CFR. You would have to kill every Mason that there is if you could find out who they are. One day and one moment at the same time, or you can't change anything. And all the churches in the United States have to renounce Sunday, have to renounce Christmas, have to renounce Easter, have to renounce the way that they have gone against God. And brethren, I tell you, that's not going to happen. They will fight politically, just like the Israelites have always done, to retain their political rights, thinking they can still ignore God who gave them this land. It won't happen. I've got right here, J.W. Robinson gave her a tremendous dissertation on Sabbath keeping and why the Sabbath should be kept, written up by Sunday keepers who were on the verge of converting to Sabbath. It never got implemented. And it is scripturally sound as can be. And if they can't implement that, don't think for one minute they can change anything politically or religiously. It isn't going to happen. So in this one world, this World Trade Organization goes in, we become one vote. Now, coupled with that, and I know in talking with these people who are the sovereignists and the constitutionalists, I had to let them know very clearly that, let's go on to the next beast here in Revelation 13, that the mark of the beast is going to be a whole new numbering system. I know years ago, someone came up, sent me the thing, oh, we have the technology now that they can do a voice print and identify you. True. Oh, we have the technology, you can do a handprint and they can identify you. True. We have the technology now that we can get a genetic identification of you. True. But none of those will be the mark of the beast. Because God is not going to let Satan the devil take part of his creation to be the mark of the beast. Because as I said, what is it that they want? Control, control. They're developing the kind of technology and chip technology which is going to even be improved from what we've heard of, brother. Because they want to put it in the right hand and in the forehead to control. They want to control your thoughts. They want to control your emotions. They want to control your movement. They want to control everything that you do. Because Satan cannot operate without control. God never operates that way. He gives free choice and says, choose. So when they take the mark of the beast, they are going to give up their God-given choice. That's why the mark of the beast is going to be so heinous. And they're going to scrap every social security number in the world. They're going to scrap every bank account number in the world. They're going to scrap every currency in the world. And they're going to issue a new number, which will be an international number. And God tells us, that's where you stand. We witness. We don't fight. We witness. If you're arrested, you witness. You don't stand at the door and shoot them. That's tough to take. Natural instinct is shoot them. You witness to them. That's what Christ said. You're going to be brought up before councils and tribunals. And don't think ahead of time what you're going to say, because my Father will inspire you to say it. And you say it. You let them know in no uncertain terms. But I tell you what, brethren, the brethren of God today, do not have the courage to do that. And that's what we must strive for. Not the courage to stand up for a carnal thing, to shoot and kill in war, but the courage to stand up for Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. I don't know who God is going to lay that upon, but I don't think that anyone who's living at that time is going to escape. But I do know this, that God will not lay a trial upon anyone that he cannot bear or endure with the help of God's Holy Spirit. They'll be able to do it. Let's read Revelation 13. Notice what he says here. Verse 8, let's read that again. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name was not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. We better hear what God says. This is an overall statement applying to everything in the Word of God. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must with the sword be killed. So if you think you have to bear the sword and go out and fight, you're going to die. Question, are you dying for Christ or your own cause? That you must determine. Peter was willing to fight, and he wasn't aiming for the ear, believe me. I think the man ducked and turned his head to the side, and his ear was cut. He was going for the head. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And we might put in there, if anyone have an ear to hear, let them listen. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven in this, on the earth in the sight of men. And remember, always remember, seeing is believing. Going to be great miracles. Brethren, there's going to come a time of such religious movement that is going to come along. There will be great joy. Is Satan able to create temporary joy? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And all of these miracles are going to be done. And we're going to say that's the hand of Satan, the devil. They're going to say, well, look, it's good. It's wonderful. It's nice. Finally, we're all together. Yes. So those miracles are going to be convincing. And I know what's going to happen, brethren. There can be someone stand up and say, I took my son or daughter to be anointed by one of these men who claims to be a minister of God, and they weren't healed. But I went over here to this man, and he did a miracle.